Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Sign up to our loyalty programme and reap the rewards at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Journalist and broadcaster Jen Gannon, good afternoon.
Hello.
So Jen, I think all Taylor Swift's exes, friends, ex-friends, frenemies, they all get a bit nervous every time she releases an album. So you've had 2 days now and 7.5 hours to decode the kind of Easter egg slash low-level bullying slash shade slash shout-outs on the new Taylor album, The Life of a Showgirl. So you're going to give us a bit of decoding of who's saying what about whom. By the way, how many different versions of The Life of a Showgirl can Swifties buy?
Right now, since Friday night, 25 at the last count. So this is the Taylor Swift industry we're talking about here. I mean, it's about scarcity. We know about, you know, modern pop stars have to do that really for themselves to put themselves out there. But at this stage, you're like, you're a billionaire. 25 different versions, and the fans feel a lot of pressure to buy to buy into it. And, you know, you get that and an itchy, what looks like an itchy ginger cardigan as well. That's on sale. So it's the Taylor Swift
industry. We've had a cardigan in the house in the past. Not, it's not top quality. I would be saying that. It was a folklore cardigan.
Yes.
But like, the Clancy's would not have worn this cardigan. Mixed response.
It's run the gamut, really. You get 5-star interviews, reviews from, like, everywhere from Rolling Stone, The Irish Times, but then
from men who were afraid and didn't know any better. I think.
Yeah, they're afraid of the poptimist industry. They're afraid of the Swifties. Who's not afraid of the Swifties? But then you also get the other end of it where it's 1-stars, 2-stars in The Guardian. But what I think is interesting about this release in particular, it's the fans that are actually upset about this album in particular. It's the first time, I think, in Taylor Swift's history where it's not going down well with the dedicated Swifties. And they're like a cult. They're like the CIA. Yeah. So if they're not toeing the party line, something has gone very awry here with this album.
I was saying to you there, if it was someone else, you'd feel that was a perfectly good pop album. It's a bit bland for her, isn't it?
I think so.
As the last few, like,
we know her as a lyricist. That's the thing. The real Taylor Swift is someone who spends time crafting these lyrics. We've seen it on the last album, The Tortured Poets Department, where she had 2 different versions of the album, elongated. Ended up being a double album. She had so much to say and so much to dig into, and there was a lot of metaphors there. There was a lot of Easter eggs. Fans were going through this line by line on social media, saying, decoding it and referencing it back to previous relationships or something going on in her life. This time around, it feels quite surface. And that's okay. Let's not say that's not. We have, you know, everyone likes an upbeat pop album. You have Dua Lipa doing that. You have Sabrina Carpenter doing that. But I think we expect more from Taylor Swift and more at this point in her career.
So
this
I'm panicking now. Do you have anything to decode for us?
There's not much. And you see, that's the thing that people are concerned about. What is she doing right now? What has she got to say? It's called The Life of a Showgirl. We were supposed to, I think fans were thinking we'd get this look behind the scenes of what is it like to be a megastar? What is it like to get the devotion from your fans? How does that affect you? I was trying to think, like, would it be like something like Drowned World, Substitute for Love by Madonna, where she's saying, you know, the whirlwind of fame, what you end up at the end of that, you end up lonely. Yeah. You're the loneliest person at the party where everybody loves you. That's the kind of insight we were looking for.
Have we got effectively an album about her fiance?
We do. It is it's big Travis album, and that's worrying in itself, I think, because he's not the muse that you had with somebody like Maddie Healy. And Maddie Healy was kind of like her pretentious boyfriend that you have in college. And I liked that for her. I thought there was something challenging about that for her intellectually. Yeah. With this, I think you're thinking the lyrics are a bit dumbed down. Who is she trying to appeal to here?
Okay, I love you, my big dumb hunk.
Exactly, exactly. Okay. Which, you know, that's okay at a certain level. But I think with someone that we know from the lyricism of Folklore or Evermore, those 2 albums, or even Midnights or 1989, it's not the same. It feels very much a straightforward, there's nothing here to decode or get stuck into.
She is taking some swipes.
She is.
So
give
us the swipe.
Charlie XCX, a lot of fans and critics alike think that there is a song on this album which references the beef that they may have had. So Charlie on the Brad album had this song Sympathy is a Knife, and it said there was this unnamed star that she felt insecure about turning up at her boyfriend, now husband, George from the 1975, backstage at the gig and comparing herself to this woman. And everybody thought, oh, that must be Taylor Swift around the time of Maddie. And then...
That's hardly an aggressive attack.
It's not an aggressive attack. And also that song was more about her own, Charlie's own insecurities and comparison culture. But this a track on the Taylor Swift album is... It sounds like Regina George from Mean Girls. It's just a low blows. It's not anything. It's like for someone who said she is the English teacher that she said on her Instagram engagement
post. So what does she say about, do we think about Charlie XCX?
She's basically saying that she doesn't think about her at all. Like the Don Draper meme, you know, I don't think about you at all. Yeah. She's just over it. She's bigger than this. And she finds it cute and romantic and that she's obsessed with her, which is a weird reading of that song. Exactly, this is it. She's 35 years old. And just to say, around that time, Madonna was doing erotica. She was changing sex expectations in the world. And Beyonce had Lemonade, which was a massive statement. Yeah. You're like, where's your statement, Taylor?
What, about maybe the wider world.
Exactly. Yeah. But, you know, she's treading the same ground here about a lot of different, like the subjects that we know her for. She's talking about high school lovers. She's talking about being the victim and what people see of her. And you're like, we need a bit of perspective. We need more from her.
So, cancelled, is that about Blake Lively in a good way or a bad way? I'm confused.
I feel this is very much her putting herself on the map saying, I'll be your friend, your ride or die, no matter what. And I think that's a really weird position to put yourself in because it also feels like maybe it's MAGA leaning as well, because we know through her relationship with Travis Kelce, she has come into a friendship with the Mahomes who are very MAGA leaning. So it feels like an anthem
for
that. Do you
think she's realigning like,
She's gone apolitical, whereas with, you know, Miss Americana, the documentary, we saw her kind of dipping her toe into American politics and that seems to be have been retracted completely. Within her relationship with Travis, I think her team feel like she's in very safe hands, not like with her relationship with Joe Alwyn, who was very private and hated being in the spotlight. Travis loves being in the spotlight, but also...
Okay, so there's no jeopardy in any of this then. Yeah, okay. Any other swipes then that we should
there
know about?
Is this Scooter Braun swipe again on the George Michael interpolation father figure?
This is the guy who, her original manager, who was the reason she didn't own a lot of her own work.
Exactly.
Like
so it's about her reversing the roles as well and being like, I control things now. I'm the boss. Me, but also people think it's about Olivia Rodrigo, someone that she had a bit of a falling out with, and is like, I can look after you, but then you turned against me. It's another.
Oh, for God's sake. Yeah. Olivia Rodrigo is what, 20 now?
Exactly.
Stage, like?
And also, Olivia Rodrigo made the mistake of saying she was inspired by a Taylor Swift song, and now Taylor Swift has a credit on that song on Deja Vu, which is unfortunate for her. And you learn again from that. But I think that's the problem. It's too surface level. I think she needs to have a break. This was recorded during breaks during the Eras tour, and it feels like it. It feels very rushed. It doesn't feel very thoughtful. She needs to take a break and go and do things. Go clubbing in Berghain, join a cult, do something, Taylor, outside of yourself.
And Jen Gannon, you and me need to go into hiding now because the 50s will be on. Okay, let's hear one of the songs. I think this one's quite good. This is from the new Taylor Swift album. This is a little bit of Open Light. Thanks a million, Jen Gannon.
They'll see it again. Life is a song, it ends when it ends. I was wrong, but my mama told me it's alright. You were dancing through the lightning strikes, sleepless in the onyx night. But now the sky is open light. Oh,
Email brendan@rte.ie.